security consultant and retired Buffalo police captain, Jeff Rinaldo. Jeff, welcome to Hardline.
Thank you for having me.
This week we had the press conference on security on Chippewa. And before I get to anything that was said, has Chippewa been a problem when it comes to violence? Now, admittedly, I stopped going to Chippewa when I was 26, so like 12 years ago. Has that been a place for violence in the past?
Yes, it's been a problem for at least 20 years, and it ebbs and flows. There were violent years, there were less violent years, but traditionally, Chippewa has always, like any late night bar area can do, draw some numbers of issues, and the Buffalo Police Department for, I believe, well over at least 10, if not 15 years, has had a dedicated detail there on the weekends.
Now, obviously, after recent issues, they did up the amount of manpower, and they talked about that costing, what, I think $20,000 extra a night. Would that regularly happen? Would there be times where you had to up the presence, or was it usually just a consistent presence on Chippewa?
It would flex. There was usually a baseline detail, meaning, you know, I think it was something like six officers and a lieutenant. But again, if you had a shooting, if you had a homicide, if you had a bad particular weekend, or you were aware of something that was being promoted that could bring more problems, then yeah, you would flex the manpower up, or you would bring in the SWAT team for their crowd control capabilities and do other things like that in order to make sure you had the appropriate amount of resources available.
Now, the commissioner and the mayor on Wednesday said the current presence isn't sustainable. Is that a reasonable answer, or is there the feeling that, well, then make it sustainable? How do you view that?
Well, I think you have to look at it for more than just the resource allocation, right? Number one, you have a seriously undermanned police department, which means that officers are being forced to work overtime. That does not help morale, especially when you're getting forced multiple times a week. But more globally, you know, the Chippewa Entertainment District, in terms of the size of the city, is very small. So the question you have to ask is it fair that the city is incurring $20,000 or more a week of police overtime that's not being reimbursed when those resources could be used in other places? I mean, currently, it's my understanding that if you're hosting an event, if you're a venue that needs police resources, you're paying for that. Even small venues now are getting bills for police resources. And if that's, you know, the path the city's going, that's fine. But who's paying for the resources for Chippewa other than the taxpayers? And I think that's where the city needs to take a hard look. And I do agree with the mayor. I don't think that's sustainable, that, you know, over $1 million a year, if not more, is being dedicated to a small area because of the amount of violence that is occurring in and around that area. Not to say that the bars are wholly responsible for that, because they're not. They're doing a great job inside of their venues, but it's the event itself and what's happening around the area that's requiring this enormous dedication of manpower.
What would you say if they did make Chippewa, especially on the weekends, a 21 and up night? Would that be a relief, or would that actually add more responsibility of the Buffalo Police?
Well, again, how are you going to enforce that? I mean, if you're going to actually cordon the area off, if you're going to have security, if you're going to have weapon detection technology, and you're going to have people getting ID'd as they enter that area, then potentially, yes, it could solve some problems. But again, who's paying for that?
If you used, let me see how I could phrase this. If you use the regular dedicated manpower on Chippewa, especially on the weekends, to, you know, check the entrances, then would you need the police, you know, in the, you know, in other parts of Chippewa, if you're checking IDs and checking what people are walking into the district with, would that be a bit of a relief, and then not need the extra money that the mayor was talking about?
Well, I think what you have to understand is that that detail is strictly on overtime. So there is no extra manpower working 2 days a week that they put on Chippewa. That entire detail is staffed with overtime. At least that's how it was prior to my retirement. So there is no standing regularly assigned officers to it. Number two, you're not going to have the police get involved in IDing people. That's just not their function. So you would have to bring in a security vendor to do that function. But number three, a number of the problems, actually a lot of, majority of the violence you're seeing is not happening in the bars or directly in front of the bars, other than your run-of-the-mill fist fight. A lot of the more serious issues are happening in the immediate area around. And to try to control the entrance scene of people in cars to get into parking lots, it's just not practical. It wouldn't be something that you would want to even attempt to do.
You've mentioned the department already being, on a lower number, shorthanded. What do you think are some of the factors playing into that, and how would you advise them to recover and be able to have a bigger incoming class than retirement?
Well, in my tenure there, I worked closely with civil service and the other leaders in the police department to do the best we could to become creative. Mayor Brown had sponsored a program called BPD 21. That was done where we did not have an active list. We had an exam that wasn't going to be able to be published for about 9 months. So we ran a mini exam based on the results of that. We, the city, paid for people to go through the academy in advance of the actual exam coming out. They were able to get certified. They still had to take the exam. They had to pass. They had to be reachable. But it allowed us to get a, quote, head start on the hiring process. So if we were able to hire somebody that had already been through the academy, it went from about 8 months to about 4 to 6 weeks before they hit the ground. But I think you also have to look to get creative in what you're doing to recruit. The residency thing has always been an issue, right? I don't know why a qualified candidate that lives outside the city, why would the city want to exclude the ability for that individual to serve their community? We talk all the time about being Western New York, and we're not just the city or the town of Tonawanda. I think we need to start getting creative. There was a lot of things that we changed about the hiring. Previously, if you took the agility test as a candidate and you missed by one push-up, you were off the list. You were gone. Didn't matter what the reason was. So we were able to work with civil service and have it where if you'd failed the test, you were able to come back and try again. Now, if you failed a second time, then you're off the list. So I think really taking a look at this globally and saying, okay, the reality is we can't just rely on a number of city candidates to show up and take the test. We're not going to be able to recruit enough people. You have about an 80% drop rate in terms of people that pass the test to actually being able to be hired as a police officer. About 80% of them wash out. So that's why you're seeing classes with, three candidates, six candidates. It's just not sustainable.
Final question, just we hit the month mark this week of since the shootings on the 4th of July. Still no arrests. We heard so much about the promoter and then nothing came of that. Do you think it's still realistic to assume that an arrest will be made when talking about the 4th of July shootings?
I think it is. I the police department's not going to give up on trying to identify and hold the people that were responsible for the shootings accountable. As far as the promoter goes, I would say the same thing. I know, the public probably is of the opinion that this would be easy to wrap up. They knew who the promoter was, just go get him. But that's not to say that this individual didn't leave the area. What contact information they may or may not have had for that individual may or may not be accurate. So I think you will eventually see some people held accountable. But, in these large chaotic scenes, you need some people to come forward. You need some people to be able to pinpoint who was responsible for what. And you know, again, it doesn't matter if you're in Buffalo or anywhere in the world, law enforcement requires cooperation with the public to get the job done. And if they're not getting cooperation, then it's going to make it extremely difficult for them to do that.
Actually, this is my last question. That that major gathering on the 4th of July, you know, obviously now all eyes are on stuff like that, you know, post advertising, stuff like that. But how often is it for a street party like that advertised on social media to get out of the out of hand like we saw on the 4th of July? Is that a common occurrence like once a summer, or is that rare that it gets to the point that we saw a month ago?
Well, anytime you have an advertised street party that's not sanctioned or permitted by the city, not planned for with, it would be like just putting an advertisement up for the Taste of Buffalo and saying, come on down, and there's no prior planning. It's probably going to go to hell. I think there's not a lot of those that happen in the summer, but what police do deal with is pop-up parties where somebody, you know, whether it's via text or social media post says, hey, why don't we all meet up at this parking lot or at this location? And suddenly you get, you know, 100, 200, 300 or more people that show up, and it just goes awry. And then the police are left to deal with it. And then, of course, you know, everyone's unhappy with the police response. But how do you plan for something that you don't know is occurring?
Jeff Rinaldo, always appreciate your insight. Thank you so much.
Thank you.